Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to Home, Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment. I'm excited that you are on air with me on today. Welcome home. May God richly bless you. I pray that you had a blessed day. And on today, we're going to be talking. We have a great subject to talk about on today. And this is, again, centered around our theme, prayer. But on today, we're going to talk about a prayer of repentance. And we're going to look at the life of King David on today and look at the relevancy and the theological implication of prayer for God's people today. So on today, I'm going to invite you to go with me, and I'm going to be reading from Psalms 51, verses number 1 through 13. And it reads on this line, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to know, hear gladness and goodness, and hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." The focus verse that we're going to be looking at is going to be found over in verse number 10, when David began to cry out and say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The thought for today is, how blessed it is for a man or a woman whose transgression is forgiven. And we know that a broken and a contrite spirit are the keys to getting right with God. God has so profoundly laid in my heart today to bring this lesson, because we sit at a very important and a key place, even in time and history, for our lives. We're closing out this particular year of 2007. Which is a year of perfection, things that God was doing in our lives, perfecting things in our lives. It could have pre-adventure, it could have been a hard year, years in which many things was transpiring, and you was probably wondering, God, why are these things happening in my life of all time? Well, we must recognize God is striving to perfect that which concerns us in our lives, and so he's bringing us to that place of perfection. Yes, we do go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, but God is perfecting things in our life. And so as God is perfecting these things in our life, we must recognize that in the year of 2008, 8 means new beginning. And so when we move into the new year of new beginning, we want to move into a place of a brand new beginning and to have dealt with some things that we had dealt with prior to going in to 2008. We want to deal with it over on this side so that we can leave those things behind. And that's why I believe that this particular session is going to be a pivotal point for your life, of things being changed and things are being rearranged. Rhema word is going to come forth on today, and you're going to understand why you had to go through the things that you went through even in 2007. Yes, you have perhaps been walking with God for years, but things that have happened in this year that almost besetted you this year. It was not for naught. And it does have theological implication in your life and relevancy right now in where you sit today. God is doing a great work in your life. And the things that are in your life, you cannot take them over into 08. So as you listen, I pray that you listen with a sincere heart and mind, because God wants to birth forth that vision that he's given unto you. But before he can really birth forth that vision in your life, you must lay aside some things that are in your life that are besetting you, that are perplexing in your mind, that you're wondering in your heart, why am I keep going over this? Lord, I love you, but I don't understand why this thing is keep happening in my life. Well, we're going to find out today. And things, and we want to you to move to a higher plane so that ministry can burst forth and you can flow in the things that God has called you to flow in. That's through the sap of the Holy Ghost, because God wants to flow in and through your life. But we must be in a position, palatable, and position ourselves in a way, in a fashion in which God can have pre-course and preeminence in our earthen vessel, in our life. And so let's take a look at the life of David. It's no coincidence that God allowed that the writers to put this in, because he recognized that we will go through things. We recognize that, you know, we will sometimes perhaps fall or stumble and come short of the glory of God. But God have a remedy. God have a way of escape for you today, child of God. And so let's take a look at the life of David. And as you give me your attention, and don't you dare change the channel, because there's a miracle with your name written on it. People going to know and see the change in your life when you finish listening to this session on today and act on the word of the Lord. David's sin had been deep and been very dreadful of what he had did. Everything about David's adulterous affair with Bathsheba and his murderous plot against Uriah had been a moral corrupt. It's been corruption. It was corroding at his heart and at David's mind and spirit. And even so much so that the Bible said over in 2 Samuel 12 and 14, the scripture said, the son of man, Jesse, had given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord's to blaspheme. So David, who was the king, he had allowed the adversary to come in on his weak part of his life, his weakness. And we must recognize we all do have weaknesses in our life. And what we do with those weaknesses in our life, we must begin to look at our weaknesses. And many times we don't take that moment to look at where I'm falling short. What is causing me to stumble? What is causing me to not move forward in ministry, move forward in the things that God is calling me? Or why am I not maturing in Christ like I should? These are some of the things that we really need to focus in on. Because, number one, we do recognize our strength. We do recognize the things that we're strong in and flowing in, but it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things that the adversary want to keep knocking at and kicking at and hitting at us as children of God, as governors in the kingdom of God, as kings and queens in the kingdom of God. It's those little things that the adversary wants to fight you with and keep poking at. So that the little fox that will destroy the vine, it's not the big things that are happening, but it's the little things. And we don't want to ignore those little things. And that's what happened to David. David, he recognized he did not allow himself to bridle those passions that he had, the passions that even that got him in trouble. And so the Bible let us know how mighty have you fallen, David. It said, David has begun to slip. It happened over a progression of time, that which he did to Bathsheba and Uriah. It didn't happen all at once, but it was over a progression of time. And that's why we want to deal with some things before we step off into 2008, because you got to get to where God's calling. You have purpose. And there's a destiny that is waiting in 2008 for you, and you got to step into it. But God said, let's deal with this perfection before you step over in there so that you can deal with these things. So when you cross that threshold of 2008, you have slew these particular enemies that are fighting against you, even in your own heart, mind, and soul. And so here, David began to be eased in, become at ease in Zion. After the war and the periods of war, David began to just begin to kind of become at ease and stumbling over his unbridled passion. David had forgot that he had been especially chosen by God to rule over Israel. And this sin that he allowed to enter in, it took him immediately out of the presence of God. It said, when sin triumphed, even the hollow presence of God seemed to be so distant in memory. So there became a gulf between David and God. And so that's why we must deal with some things, because we don't want to allow a gulf to be put between us and God. Yes, it may have hurted you. Yes, what had happened was cutting all the way down to your heart, and you may have thought, why and how could someone have done this? The same one that I worship God with, the one that I've gone to Jerusalem or to church with, have done this evil against me. And these are the things that we must deal with, because when you're operating in the spiritual realm, you must operate with a clean heart and a clean spirit and mind and soul. The Bible let us know that God will reward us according to the cleanness of our hands and hearts. So that's why we must take care of this today before we step off into 2008. So here, let's go back and focus here in what was going on here. The Bible let us know that as believers that we are shocked by the duplicity of David's nature. We are appalled by the action of one who known God so well. And we can see and we can look at various great leaders and things, and you may think in your mind, man, how could that happen to that individual? You know, they was flowing in the ministry, God was doing great things in their life and things, and boom, this thing happened in their lives. Child of God, we have things that are constantly worn at us as children of God, and we must look at them. We must deal with them. We must bring resolution and closure to those things. If not, the devil will use these very things against us, the duplicities in our lives. Yes, we both human and both moving in the spiritual realm. We must deal with those things that are constantly besetting us. Those things that even our eye gates see, those things that our ear gates hear and our nose gates smell and things. We must deal with those things and reckon them to be dead, mortifying the deeds of the flesh, because these are the things that the adversary want to come in and ride on those things to overthrow the woman of God, to overthrow the man of God, the child of God. We must look at those things and deal with them, and recognize that God has given us enough power through the Holy Ghost, through the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has dealt with those things. But we cannot ignore that those things are trying to take precedence in our lives and bring us back into captivity. And once we deal with it and go to the cross of Calvary and say, oh, God, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. You know, Lord, I'm trying to forgive, you know, that individual, but every time I see them, Lord, I don't want to speak to them. I don't want to be around their presence. I don't even want to hear their voice, God. And when you go to God and be honest like that before God and say, God, I don't even want to look at them. Let alone hear their voice, God, because they have sinned against me. They hurted me. And when you talk to God and tell God what's going on deeply down in your spirit and heart and telling them what you're struggling with on your inward man, in your closet, then God can help us as leaders, as men and women of God, as governors in Zion and things. God can help us. But what happened to David, David did not deal with it. He kept looking at Bathsheba. And stood of him with his eye gate coming in and not looking and said, oh, God, help me. I need help. That's my strength. But he kept gazing on that. And so, child of God, what are you gazing on? What are you opening your heart unto? And the things that God is saying, no, I don't want you to put your hand to that. Don't call him no more. He's pulling you away from me. I got something better for you. And you may be thinking because you're getting up in age and things and you're still yet single and think that God have not brought forth that man or that Boaz that you're looking for. Maybe you may be the Bozarine. Maybe you'll be the woman that's going to be able to lay down some things for them because of your place where you're at with God. We sometimes look at Boaz, and you may be Bozarine to someone that is coming. And see, so you must recognize and get the heart and mind of God of where God is taking you through. No, you may not heard it on that rise, but yes, God can do that. So we must open our hearts and mind unto God. So let's look back here at the scripture around Psalms 51. It says to the chief musician and the Psalm of David when Nathan, the prophet, came unto David after he had gone into Bathsheba. Psalm 51 is the heartfelt prayer of a sinner's a sinning saint. He had sinned. He was a saint, but he sinned. And sometimes, you know, sin can be prevalent even in the house of God. And many times we don't want to deal with sin. Sometimes we want to name it and claim it. We want to swing from the chandelier. But we need to deal with sin sometimes that is right there in the house of God, sinning in our heart. A lot of times there's murder going on in the house of God, murdering other people's reputation and their influences, dragging their name in the mud and things, coveting the things that they may have. That's sin. Not forgiving and unforgiveness. We need to deal with the sin that is sometimes in the house of the Lord. Yes, I did say that. Yes, we are going there on today because we need to deal with that if we're going to step into 2008 with a clean vessel meet for the master's use. Amen? And so let's look here. David was dealt with that. And there are seven pentacle psalms of repentance in the book of Psalms. You'll find it over in Psalms chapter Psalm 6, Psalms 32, Psalms 38, 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143. These are all prayers of repentance. It is the earnest cry of a man who has been indicted by God by his own conscience. David had been indicted by God. Yes, the man who was after God's own heart, God had to turn around and indict that man of God. And so when God comes to indict us, there is a remedy of salvation and a way of escape through the prayer of repentance, repenting of that sin, repenting of that thing, and turning our hearts back unto God. And so here David felt like a spiritual leper after God came in and began to indict him. He determined to approach God for cleansing and not just for forgiveness. And sometimes we go and ask God for forgiveness, and that's good. But sometimes we just need to be washed and cleansed from that situation. And that's what happened to David. And that's why we find the Psalms 51. It's a cleansing. It was cleansing him. It was cleansing his mind and his spirit so he could come back into the presence of God. David had already received the assurance from Nathan that he had been forgiven and that he would not die because of this transgression. And you'll find that over in 2 Samuel 12 and 13. His heart, however, longed for the fellowship and the favor with God. Now, I want to stop right there and expound on that for just a moment. And see, there's one thing about God forgiving us and after forgiving or going back to our brothers or sister and saying, you know, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? You know, that came out a little harsh, and I didn't really mean it that way. Anything is one thing just asking for forgiveness. But child of God, there is another realm that I want to, and God is saying he wants you to get to today. And that is to come back into that true fellowship with God. I'm talking about that heart-to-heart fellowship with God and favor with God. Now, those two elements are key for the leaders, a key for the child of God, for the evangelist, for the elders, for the pastors, for the prophet and the apostle. Being in favor and fellowship with God is key, because how can we teach, how can we speak, and we're out of fellowship, out of the presence of God, and can't even feel God. But we already know, because we have already gone through prayers and we prayed for years. And see, but I'm talking about a fresh word. I'm talking about a fresh rhema. I'm talking about being the lips of God and the hearts of God and the eyes of God and the hand of God, being able to flow in ministry in this end time and taking God to his people and being there for God. For his people and things. I'm talking about doing a fresh thing in our lives before we step off into 08, the new beginning. We're going to deal with some things on today, and so that we can be the men and the women of God that God is calling for in these last times. I can hear the hoofman. Now, you may say, what is the hoofman, Pastor? This is the Bible said, if you can't keep up with the footman, what are you going to do when the horseman comes to town? And things. And I can hear the hoofs of the horsemen coming to town, and we have a work to do. This is a voice crying in the wilderness today. We got a work to do, and we can't be majoring in minor and minoring in major. We got to be able to stand in the boldness and the confidence and the authority of God. And how do you stand in that authority? Well, you first of all, you want to make sure that your vessel, your mind, and your spirit have been cleansed, and you're dealing with those things that the adversary is trying to throw on us as children of God, and not ignoring that you've been hurt, that you've been devastated, and that you've gone through a hard place this year. I'm saying let's deal with that and bring closure to that so we can step forth into the new year. And so let's look back here. It said, because you want to have that pure fellowship with God, and you want to be able to have favor with God. That's why the people knew that Peter and John had been with God. These are unlearned men. They've been with God. And somebody come look at you in 2008 and going to say, I know evangelist been with God, because we know that the power of God is resting on apostle, and this is a prophet from God. Their words are not falling to the ground. They've been with God. They've been at the feet of God. They've chosen the good part, the good thing, and things. And you have chosen to stay with us today. And God is going to do something miraculous in your ministry this year. And you're going to write me an email and say, Pastor Arm, God has done the miraculous. Doors have been swung open, and I have just been ushered forward in ministry because you are listening today. And God is going to perform a great thing. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance at the end of the session, and God is going to do something miraculous when you go to watch service between 11:59 and 12:01, between 7:08 and 07, there's going to be a miraculous move of God that's going to hit you. And all going to know that the power of God has fallen down on and consumed the sacrifice that you have made. And they're going to recognize that it is God, and it cannot be denied. Who can deny God? Is there a man or a woman on this earth that can deny the power of God and the move of God? Who can deny that? Let's look here. Psalm 57 and 51 and 7 said, purge me with hyssop. He cried, and I shall be cleansed, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It was the prophet David that exposed the transgression of the king, and no surgical knife had ever been deeper or greater precision than the words of the prophet. Now, I want to stop there. Now, when you're prophesying and moving in the prophetic realm, that's why we want to be able to keep our vessel clean, because that precision and your tongue become as a surgical knife, cutting deep or healing deep down within the souls of God's people. And that's why we got to have this fellowship. and the favor of God, and have the audience with God so that we can hear and move forward in precision as we move forth in God and the things of God. So that's key. This lesson today is key for the people of God, especially the prophets, the apostles, the leaders, the teachers. We must know. It says here, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Bible said. And this is what happened to David. David's sins were secret, so he thought, and said, but when David's sins became public, and thing, he didn't realize that they was going to come public at that time. It said the publicity brought forth the punishment when he came. Nathan came to him. It said Nathan, he was frank, he was open, and this is what David, he openly confessed it, that he had sinned. The most remarkable thing that David could have done, he was candid and he was honest. And he humbled himself. And child of God, as leaders, as people, children of God, we must be honest before God. And we must constantly move forth in that spirit and realm of humility. Now, let's dissect this. Let's take a look at that. Let's look here. David was the king. David was a man after God's own heart. He was leading God's people into big, glorious victories. And this thing happened to David. Now, one of the things that I share with my ministers and my associates minister, I share with them, you must, after you have preached your greatest message that God has used you profoundly, you must come back and humble yourself. And things up under the mighty of hand of God, as though you have not done anything. Put that the fruit of the victory of the battle or the ministry of what you have just done, put it at the feet of Jesus. That belongs to Jesus, that glory. And things, and you come back and just humbly just give God the glory and the honor. You want to stay in that place of humility and honesty before God. When they come and say, oh, you preached a profound word. Oh, the glory go unto God. Thanks be unto God that God used me and things. Keeping that spirit of humility before God. And things, when you sin, when you've done something and things, when you snapped off at somebody and things, maybe you need to come back and say, God, I snapped off on sister. I cut her with my tongue, and I was sharp. I didn't want her in my presence. You need to come back and say, God, forgive me. I was wrong. That was your little child and things. You know, she maybe perhaps have offended you, and you probably have not been totally healed from that attack against you, even from the children of God. You know, one minute they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to you, and then next thing you know, there was a group, a clique of folks in the house of the Lord saying, crucify her, crucify him, and things, and that hurted you because you was moving forward in the things of God, and you thought everybody was going to be happy. No, everybody's not going to be happy. Everybody ain't going to be on your side and things like that. Everybody is not going to be there to lift you up and say glory be to God. There's going to be some Judas among you. There's going to be some haters, some player haters that's going to be hating on you and things. But what you going to deal with that fox? That's a fox. What you going to do with the fox? And things, you got to deal with that. You got to go back to God and say, oh, God, I forgive them that despitefully use me and speak all manner of evil against me. God, that hurted me, Lord. But, Father, bless my sister. She knew not what she did, that she brought great hurt upon me, Lord. And I meant good, and my heart was good before you to do the right thing. Yes, we got to deal with the wounds that we have received in the house of God. Those are some of the greatest ones. And that's why this show is on today, because you can't afford to keep carrying that baggage and still operate in the spiritual realm and take it forth, because if not, that bitterness will spew out when you pray, when you read the scripture, when you sing your song. All of that bitterness will spew out. But once you deal with it, I mean, face to face. Yes, it hurted me. Yes, they did it to me. Yes, the knife was stabbed in my back and in front of my fifth rib. And yes, I thought they would have my back, but they stabbed me, Lord. Oh, shout out to bullshit. And it didn't feel good, Father. Help me, Lord, that I speak no evil or see no evil on them. but let me see them, see you, O God. And things, and so we have to cry out to God, because that's our garden of Gethsemane, Lord. If it be possible, let this cup pass, but Lord, it hurts, Jesus. And now you tell me to get back up in love. God, that's a hard place. That's why you need the power of God. And that's why he brought forth this power, because he know out of our own fleshly mind, we can't do it. I see. So let's look here. The most remarkable thing about David, he said, you know, most men will proclaim every one of his own goodness, but David proclaimed his own unworthiness. He proclaimed his unworthiness and his failure before God. And sometimes we have to go to God and say, oh, God, you know, this did happen. And declare before God, and God's there, he's just, and he faithfully cleanses and washes us from all of our sins and iniquity and our shortcoming. He will do that for us. And so let's hear. The king of Israel quickly confessed his sins before the prophet. David must have been sensed that the Lord was extending mercy far beyond what he, as a king, would have given to the people. And see, sometimes we don't give the people mercy and things. And so sometimes we need to extend the mercy and things to those that have hurted us and things. And so David received mercy from God more than what he would have given to the people and things. It is the goodness of the Lord that leads individuals to repentance. And that's where we are today and things. The riches of God's grace magnifies sometimes the shame of our sin. And from that, we are able to fall on the rock and be broken. And say, oh, God, Lord, I've sinned and things, as opposed to the rock falling on us and breaking us unto powder. And so when David was convicted, he was proven guilty in the courtrooms of his heart and things. No, he wasn't sitting in before the witness and things, but in the witness of heaven, in the courtroom of his heart, he has sinned. And so that's what we're going to deal with, the courtrooms of our hearts today. That God knows and things where we perhaps have said, Lord, I don't want to forgive. I'm not going to let it go and think they hurted me and I'm just going to hold on to this. But we're going to deal with that before we leave this air today and things. And so here, this here, David recognized and he appealed unto God's mercy. David appealed to God's mercy. He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression. See, David knew how to go to God and approach God. He approached God through God's mercy. He approached God through his loving kindness and asked of God to blot this thing out, God, and things. And so here, let's look here and things. And David was going through some things. And so let's look at this here of the cleansing and the renewal, because my time is almost up and I want us to get a little further here. It's that there are areas within our hearts that only God can see. And when David referred to the inward part, he spoke of the hidden and the secret realms of the heart. The inward part, the hidden part, was literally referred 6 times, the concealed things. The things that was hidden, but not from God, the innermost thought of a man, they're always completely open unto God. We can sin in our thoughts and mind and things, and that's why we as children of God must be careful and things and deal with those things immediately and don't let it linger. Deal with it. Oh, God, forgive me for that and things. That was wrong of me and things. David had everything but honest. He had been false to his friends when he was lingering and not confessing nothing, but it took Nathan the prophet to come to David and deal with him. And so in my closing, we're going to get ready to pray in just a few minutes and things. There was a renewal that taken place for David and things, and there's a renewal that God wants to do for your spirit because you've been in a battle all year. 07 have not dealt you a whole pretty thing. You have been trying to hold fast to God. You've been praising God with daggers in your heart. You've been praising God with stones that have been coming against you. And you have been trying to hold fast to the things of God, what you know that God will want you to do and things. But we need to say, God, restore to me the joy of my salvation. You know, I love ministry. I love your word. But, Father, I've been in a battle and things. And so you want your heart to be cleansed. You want the right spirit to be renewed within your heart so that you can teach others. So that you can minister others, so that you can give out of a clean vessel, a healed vessel, a whole vessel, and things. As a result of David repenting unto God, God forgave him and accepted the individual and allowed him to walk away from that indictment whole and things and cleansed. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that God will forgive and then accept us and things, even if we walk away from God in our hearts, sitting in the house of God, knowing in our hearts that, you know, we said, forget it, in our minds, I'm tired of the battle, I'm not going to do it no more. In our hearts, we have walked away, and in our mind, we have walked away, but sitting right there in the house of God and things. So God said, I'm going to restore to you today that joy of the salvation and things. It said, when we lose heart God from God's heart, and sin, you know, God, we're lost away from the presence and the peace and the purpose and the joy of God. When sin comes in and abound in our spirit, the sin of unforgiveness, not forgiving those that have transgressed against you, you lose your peace, you lose your purpose, and you lose your joy and being in the presence of God and his favor. And you can't afford to lose those things because they are vital unto you and unto us. And so it is only God that's the one that's able to restore that joy. He alone is able to satisfy the thirst of our salvation and the thirst and the hunger of our soul and things. The scripture over in Isaiah says 12:2, it said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for God Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And then, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. God's restoring you right now, child of God. He's doing it right now. All that craziness you've been through, girl, get on up and wipe those tears from your eyes and lift your head back up. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, speak to your spirit even right now. And I speak to your spirit, lift your head up and think, you're not going under, you're not going down. You're going up because the God in which you serve, he heard you even in your heart right there when you said, God, forgive me. And think, it wasn't them, it was me, God. I didn't let go of the pain. I didn't let go of the rejection and the perplexity of why they did that to me. But Father, today I'm letting it go. I'm giving it up. I'm laying it at the altar, Lord. I'm casting it upon you because you care for me, God. You didn't die and shed all your blood for naught and for me to be sitting here and being captured in my own pain and captured in my own thoughts and mind. I'm getting up from this right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord God is my Savior. And no, the devil is a lie. He is going to get behind you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to your spirit and I breathe life on you right now in the name of Jesus. No weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that you already asked him today. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit, Lord, that you can stand up and teach others and that the bountiful blessing of God and your cup will run over in the presence of your enemies today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel God said, take us and go to the throne of God right now. Come on, child of God. We're going together. We're going to touch and agree. Father, Lord, we ask that you forgive us of our sins and iniquity, Lord, and those that transgressed against us and spoke all matter of evil against us. Dear God, those ones that set up traps and try to keep us out and not want us to go forth in ministry, that set up booby traps and conspire to overthrow and derail us from the doing the work of the Lord. The devil is a lie. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I felt somebody right now. I feel you pulling on the Holy Ghost and God right now. I feel virtue leaving me right now because God wants to do something in your life, and Jesus Christ is right here because I said, God, I'll bring you to your people and that your people may be strengthened and blessed. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come and we touch and agree that in 08, we're standing in whole in the power of God, and we're going to leave this garbage and leave this pain and disappointment, every battle that have been fought over the year of 2007, oh God. Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and forgive our enemies, oh God, and those that spoken all manner of evils against us in the name of Jesus. Every dagger that they thrown at us, every dart that they had put up under, and even the sword that came up under the fifth rib, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you forgive, and I forgive them, and I choose today to forgive in the name of Jesus. That's it, child of God. You open your mouth and you say, God, I forgive them. I choose to forgive in the name of Jesus, dear God. Create in me a new spirit that when I stand up to minister again, oh God, I'll minister in confidence and minister in boldness and minister in your strength and in your word, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against rejection, Lord. We come against ostracize and criticize and intimidation, Father. In the name of Jesus, we cast it down. Hush, shut up. Oh, shame. In the name of Jesus, and I speak to your women, Lord, and to the men of God today, the children of God, and I speak confidence and boldness and strength back down in their spirit on this day. Let your blood cover, ha, shalom, shekam, over them in the name of Jesus. And by your power that's in the Holy Ghost, Lord, we stand, oh God, Father, that you may wash and cleanse us right now in the name of Jesus, dear God. And by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, oh God, that you will undergird and fortify my sister and my brother today. Because I touch and agree, Lord, that no weapon that's formed against them is going to prosper. Every tongue that rose up against them, they shall condemn. When they go back to watch night service, they'll be able to look that individual in the eye with true love and with a true and sincere heart and forgiveness and put their arms around them and say, oh God, I forgive you, sister. I forgive you, brother. But I'm letting the love of God flow through my heart. In the name of Jesus, Father, that man that walked out on that child of God, or that woman, in the name of Jesus, give her courage and strength. Strengthen her heart. Strengthen her mind. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that one that you asked her to forgive and she refused to forgive. Father, in the name of Jesus, she's now standing to forgive them. In the name of Jesus. And by your power that's in the Holy Ghost, have your way. Have your way, oh Shalaboshe. Have your way in the life of your people. And we thank you, oh God. Father, we repent of anything that is not like you, oh God, as we stand honest and humbly before you, oh God. And we give you the praise and the glory for, Lord, the strength and the anointing and the power that your people will walk in the year of 2008. And we praise your name and give you the glory. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Child of God, before I leave the air, I just have a couple of minutes. I just want to say to you today that from listening to this session, and if you wasn't here in the whole thing, please take a moment and go back and listen. God has cleansed and washing your life. And what between now and 2008, whatever God shows you in your life that you need to give to him and repent of, do that. Because as you step forth, you want to be able to be in true fellowship with God and the favor of God to rest upon your life to execute the will of the Lord and speak the word of God out of clean and a whole vessel that when you prophesy, you can prophesy with precision. And when you speak forth the word of God, you can use that word of God like God's scalpel as it's carving out the womb and bringing forth healing to the body of Christ. That's why it's imminent that we bring closure to the things that have overthrown us in this year of 2007. Don't take it into the year of 2008 because God has an assignment for you. And you want to be able to hear from God and operate and move in the realm of God. When he wants you to heal, when he say, go lay hands, and you can lay hands. And God will allow his healing virtue to flow. If he tell you to speak a word and you don't understand, speak it because God is speaking through you. Because you dare to allow yourself to be cleansed of the pain and the hurts that you have suffered. perhaps in the house of God, perhaps among those that you love that don't understand the things of God, don't have concept or cannot comprehend the things of the Lord. God wants to heal you. Don't take it into the year 2008. Let God wash and cleanse you and undergird you. I pray that you have been blessed today and that your heart has been comforted today through this message and this word. Jesus wanted me to speak to your hearts today and the relevancy of the prayer of repentance for the people of God, the children of God, right there in the house of the Lord. Be thou blessed. Thank you for being at home with me. And I pray that you are blessed and that God will richly bless you. God bless you. Bye-bye.